If you want to get rid of somebody's culture and their belief system, you have to gradually take away different parts of it. New York City has been called the melting pot of the world because people from all over the world come into New York City. And after the first generation, we see the assimilation process start to speed up rapidly. You want to get rid of somebody's culture, you take away their language. After a while, the second generation doesn't know the language. You want to get rid of a culture, take away their spirituality. Take the days that they once celebrated and replace them with days in their new culture. By doing this, you gradually, within 2 to 3 generations, those children would have lost the knowledge of where they came from. And that's fine in some circumstances, but Yahweh knew this was going to happen. See, if you can get rid of a culture, you then get rid of their god. Like the Greek gods and the Roman gods and the Aztec gods. When that culture disappeared, their gods disappeared. In today's Torah portion, it starts with the book of Exodus, with the 8th plague that Yahweh sends a swarm of locusts. And the locusts are there to destroy all that the hail didn't destroy. There's going to be total destruction. And once again, Pharaoh refuses to speak and to let the children of Israel go. And then in chapter 11, the 9th plague of darkness encompasses the land. And when the darkness is ended, Pharaoh becomes even more defiant. And Moses warns Pharaoh that the next plague will be the death of your firstborn. And then something extremely interesting happens. Chapter 11, which is an extremely short chapter, ends. And you would think we'd go right into the next plague of darkness. But that doesn't happen. Before the last plague, there's going to be a break in the narrative, a break in the story. And the break is extremely important for us to understand. Anytime we come to the scripture where there's a sudden break in the narrative of a story to interject another thought, we need to pay attention to what our God is trying to say to us. And He wants us to pay special attention to these interruptions, or else they wouldn't be there in the middle of nowhere. They had no right to be there. He should have went right into the next plague. But it doesn't happen. Here in the narrative in verse 12, chapter 12, it introduces us to the first mitzvah, the first commandment given to the Jewish people as a nation. It's to be one of the most momentous occasions in the history of the redeemed community. Remember that they're starting over again. They're starting fresh after 400 years outside of their country. And it says in chapter 12, verse 2, this is to be the first of months for you. Why is this coming in all of a sudden? Because he's starting fresh. He needs to get them out of the mentality of the slaves that they were when they were in Egypt. He needs to give them a new hope. He needs to give them a new vision. He has to give them a new direction. They're coming out of this country where for 400 years their relatives lived, and all the generations that went by, they forgot what their God had promised them. And even in the wilderness, we see that their desire when things got tough was, send us back to Egypt. We had good lives as slaves. I guess they forgot the torture and the pain that came with that life. But in the first command to the nation of Israel as a single unified people, we have the beginning of a new calendar. And the new calendar is going to be based on the renewal of the moon. Why is that important? Because the whole world at that time was following the solar calendar, the calendar of the sun. And the sun represented the major deities of Egypt. Major god was the sole invincible, the invincible sun. Because it came up every morning, and if you wanted to know the time of days, you can do it by the sun. But that's all the sun could tell you as far as astrology goes. Yahweh commands his redeemed people to establish a new beginning with the new Hebrew month of Nisan, the first month on his calendar, which, by the way, makes logical sense because it's the springtime. And it's in the springtime where everything comes alive again. On the Roman calendar, we have our first month in the dead of the winter. In January, when there's no life, when everything is pretty much dead, there are no leaves growing any longer. The grass is not growing. The animals in hibernation. So Yahweh in his infinite wisdom would start his new year when life once again begins. His new nation is going to have a new life in them. And he gives them this day as a sign for them. Unlike the rest of the world that was relying on the solar calendar, Yahweh's calendar was to be based on the luna, on the sun. And thus the sanctification of the Rosh Chodesh came into being. Rosh Chodesh doesn't mean new moon. It means head of the month, the first day. However, if you look on the Hebrew calendar, what you're going to find is that the head of the month, the first of the month, is always the new moon. Doesn't change. The new moon was to be an additional sign to Israel and those of the renewed community that they were to be a peculiar people. They weren't to be like the rest of the world. They were to remain in their culture, in their identity, in their language, in their holy days. Don't go into a country and assimilate into their culture. Now, we think assimilation is good in this country. Everybody should speak like one of us, whatever one of us means. Doesn't mean you speak like somebody from Brooklyn or somebody from Atlanta. There's a big difference in what we think is proper. But we expect everybody to give up their culture. So little by little, we are becoming that one world religion where everybody is not immigrating, but migrating. They're going to different places and coming from different places. But Yahweh did not want his people to lose their identity, because if they lose their identity, who's going to know about him? How would the world find out who he is? How would they find out what he wants? The renewed moon was to be an additional sign. He would give them signs to set apart his Moedim. How do we know when God's holy days are coming back then? Couldn't look at your cell phone. Couldn't look at the computer. You probably didn't have many calendars. How would you know? So he set this in motion, because the sun will only tell you times of day. The moon will tell you seasons. And the moon has a specific pattern that it follows every month. When the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans enslaved the Jewish people, they banned almost every aspect of Jewish spirituality. But in order to ban Jewish spirituality, you needed to get rid of their culture. You needed to change their way of thinking. The command of the Brit Milah, the circumcision, and the Shabbat and the Rosh Chodesh were always on the list of mitzvahs that were forbidden to be done by the Jewish people every time they were occupied. Signs like, again, the circumcision, which represents our entering into the covenant between Abraham and Yahweh. The Shabbat, which represents our steadfast belief in our Creator of the universe, and we rest on it because He rested. But what possibly can be threatening to these great empires that they decided that the celebration of the renewed moon or the new moon would be forbidden? Why would they do that? What threat did it pose to them? The threat didn't pose it because it encouraged the Jewish people that they didn't have to look for any other signs, as when seasons and times were changing, they were to be a peculiar people, and they would know that every month, on the first of the month, when that new moon came, they knew what time it was. They knew what season they were going into. You could count the months. If somebody came to you today and placed you on an island where you didn't have all these communication forms that we have now, how would you know when the times are changing? Well, you would always know by the moon and the stages that the moon is in. You could be anywhere in the world and know when you have the full moon and when you have the new moon. And when you had the new moon, you knew it was the first day of another month. So you could keep records and you can make them accurate records. But there's a spiritual involvement with the new moon. Rosh Chodesh sets the Creator's calendar, and it separates us from other people so that we remain who we are, but it also gives us a spiritual connection with the Creator of the universe. Because He commands us that we're to step aside on the day of the new moon. We're supposed to watch it. We're supposed to look at it and reflect. But what does the new moon teach us? It represents a direct connection between the physical world and the world of the Creator. Jewish literature states that anyone who blesses the month in its proper time, it is as if he had greeted the divine presence. The new moon, the renewed moon, is a time of reflection. Because there's a lot of little lessons that we can see in there that we can apply to our own life. It represents a time that we reflect and we repent. It's another way to come back to God. It's another way to get back and say, okay, He gave us this for a sign. What am I to learn from this sign? Every sign has a purpose. There's never a sign that's made up that doesn't have a purpose in it. And every one of Yahweh's signs has a purpose to get us back on the right track with Him. The Jewish nations have gone through many ups and downs throughout its long history, from the glorious heights to devastating lows. They have been through it all, and yet they still were able to maintain their identity with Yahweh. Maybe not the way He wanted them to do it, and maybe when we look back at them and said, oh gee, they shouldn't have did this, they shouldn't have done that. But the reality is, here we are, thousands and thousands of years later, with this country that everybody tries to destroy, and the people that everybody tries to destroy, and they still remain. They're like that thorn in the flesh. You keep trying to get rid of them, and they keep appearing somewhere else. Why? Because the Word of God, no matter what Bible you're using, is telling us that they will always be there. They will be His sign for the world to know that He exists. You want to get rid of that sign, get rid of the people. What you're basically trying to do is, by having Jewish people assimilate, is to lose the God of Israel. To eliminate Him. And the way you eliminate Him, because you can't do it in the spiritual realm, is to believe that by eliminating the people that he accused to be a peculiar people, by eliminating them, that you're going to accomplish your goal. And every major empire that came along had the goal of eliminating the people of Israel by, and thus eliminating their God. But it reminds us that there's always a renewal in life, that the future will indeed be brighter than the present and even the past. We're going to put up on the overhead here. And it's going to show you the new moon in its different stages, or the moon in its different stages. This is a 28-day cycle of the lunar moon. And if you look on there, you're going to see that this is for February, next month. And February on the Roman calendar is not the same as the Hebrew calendar. In the Hebrew calendar, it's 2 months in one at Shavuot and Adar. But if you notice, on the 10th of the month, we have the new moon. Many people think the new moon is the full moon. The new moon is when the moon is at its darkest in anticipation of the renewal of the moon. Like the moon, stages in our lives are the same. We go through a period of complete brightness where everything is going good for us. And then all of a sudden we come to this dark part. And it's a process. It's a process from going from darkness to light and light to darkness. This happens every day. It happens every month, and it happens in our lives as we're walking this walk, that we're going to have a lot of times where we have glorious light in our life. And we're going to go through a lot of times where there's darkness. And the reason for the renewal of the moon is that we understand that there will always be a light. It will always come back. There'll be seasons of darkness in our life, but we will eventually have that light again. And we're not to be discouraged, because sometimes when we get down so far, we can't see up any longer. And what this shows us is that there is as much darkness in our lives as there is light. And our hope has to be that this darkness will eventually turn to light again. So the new moon was there to show us that darkness and light exist together. And just because we're going through different stages in our life doesn't mean we're distant from God. It just means that we're in a place now that we have to look inside ourselves. We need to have our strength build up when the light is there, so that when the darkness comes, we will have the faith to not be overwhelmed by the darkness. Knowing this, we should not despair upon reaching a point when everything seems to be dark and gloomy. I'm sure that there are many of you here over the last couple of months have been through some very dark times. And when that first sliver of light comes into being, it starts the process of hope all over again. And little by little by little by little, things start to change. And the light becomes brighter. And the heaviness is lifted. The new moon does not turn into a full moon overnight. It takes half the month to get to that other portion. And then as soon as it gets to it, it starts the process over again. So when God tells us that we're to observe the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, he's just basically trying to tell us your life is going to be like the phases of the moon. You're going to go through different periods of life, but don't be discouraged, because there's always going to be light at the end of that tunnel. There will always be the time when God's light will shine through. This monthly cycle is symbolic of the... And Judaism had a special role for women and a special holiday for women. And it's called Rosh Chodesh, the new moon or the head of the months. And it's at that time they say that a woman is special because, like the moon, she goes through the same stages. It's called her menstrual cycle. And when you start looking at Judaism, what they're trying to say by that is that that's her darkest point of the month. And then from there, it starts to get better. But it's going to come again. It's going to come again. So they give a special place to women in saying that on this day, on the new moon, she should relax. She shouldn't do work. She should relax because right now she's at the lowest point. Okay, she's at the beginning of all the pains coming from the menstrual cycles. But she knows that it's only a matter of time that they're going to go away because it happens every month. So because of that, Judaism looks at the role of a woman and say, this is her special time. Yeah. A lot of people think that Judaism put their women on the back burner. That is not true. They hold a very esteemed place in the life of the Jewish family. And the command of the new moon seemed to have drifted into her life. And it becomes a special part of your life as a lady. It's a time of when you know that time has come, when menstruation starts, you know you're not producing any new birth. But then it starts to change, and then the period comes around to where all of a sudden the pain is gone and there's a possibility of bringing new life into the world. And it's a renewal every month of who you are. All through the scriptures, the new moon was a day that the prophets heard from Yahweh. Being a day, it was a day that was designed on waiting on Yahweh. There was more expectations for prophetic utterances to come during the new moon than at any other time. Why do I say that? Isaiah 47 and 13. You were wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesied by the stars, those who predict by the new moon, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Ezekiel 26 and 1. Now remember that the new moon is always the first day of the month on the Jewish calendar. Isaiah 26, 1. Now in the 11th year, on the first of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Ezekiel 29:17. Now in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Ezekiel 31, in the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Haggai 1:1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of Yahweh came by the prophet Haggai. So, the celebration of the new moon has great prophetic significances to it. See, we've lost the concept of the new moon in our culture. Very few people really celebrate it, even in Judaism outside of the Orthodox. It's like bygone days. You know, we don't need anybody telling us, you know, before it used to be that you had to have two witnesses to look for this first little sign that the moon was changing. And they would have to report it. Well, now we have all these astrologists and charts that they put up that we know years in advance when the new moon's going to be. But the new moon and Sabbath were closely linked together as being holy to God. Why did he give us this? And this is really where I'm trying to go with this. Why is this so important to him that he would interrupt the story of the plagues by putting this in there to the redeemed community? Why would he do that from something unless it had special significance for him and for us? At the beginning of each month, we're called to sort of set aside and contemplate, because again, we're in the new moon being the darkness. Even that's a problem in many circles, because a lot of people believe, based on Strong's Concordance, that the new moon is the full moon. That's not the new moon. This is the new moon. Right here, it's dark. It's completely dark. The full moon is the refreshing of the entirety of the moon. And it's interesting because we use the word new, but the moon is never new. It's always the same. It just refreshes itself on a continual basis. And it's the same thing with the covenant. When Jeremiah 31 and 31, it says, I will make a new covenant. It's the same word that's used for the new moon. It doesn't mean that the covenant was going to be totally new. It means I will refresh the covenant I made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers, but I will put the law in their hearts. They will no longer need any teachers. That has not happened. And when we look at the moon and we understand why Yahweh put it there, he put it there for us. He doesn't have concept of time. He doesn't care about 28 days and we start another month, and whether you're 60 years old or whether you're 93 years old. He's not concerned about that. What he's concerned about is that he's giving us signs, not so we can keep track of things. He's given us signs so we don't lose our identity with him. These signs are there for us. And what happens is that when we try to bring back in the new moon celebrations, people think, oh, you're going back under the law. Well, no, read the Brit Hadashah. You're going to find it mentioned throughout. It's a time that we stop what we're doing. We get so busy in this world. You know that today most of our children lost their skills of communications. They don't know how to talk to people because all they do is like this with their fingers. They text all day. They lost the face-to-face look with people. They don't meet people any longer. Somebody will tell you they have 10 million friends on Facebook. Ask them how many they actually know. You know, it's not that many. So when he gave us these to understand that we will have problems and we will have darkness in this world. No one is so perfect that they never fall. No one is so perfect they will never sin, that they are never diminished, that they never go into a depression. When we look at even the psalmist, he constantly talks about the depression he goes into. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Well, lift up your head, speak to God. The Proverbs teach the righteous can fall even seven times and rise again, but the wicked stumble with evil. The righteous fall, the people of God will fall, because we will go through dark stages, we will go through light stages, and we will fall. But it says the righteous will fall seven times and keep getting up again and keep going back to the Word of God. This is why the signs of God are so important, so that when we fall, if we stray too far, we can't find the way back. But when we have these signs from God to say, okay, let's start over again. Here it is, the new moon. Contemplate, you're coming out of darkness now. Let's head into the light. Let the new moon be a sign to you that things are being renewed in your life. That things are going to change. You're not going to be the same. You don't have to hold on to darkness. The reality is that everyone has high moments and everyone has low moments. And sometimes these moments can last a while. Don't think that darkness flees just because you prayed. It's like the new moon. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. I don't know how much time. But you're going to go through the seasons of darkness in your life, and it's at those times that you need signs to remind you it will not last. It will not last. And we know that by, again, looking at the pattern and the phases that the moon goes through. The moon declines every month, never gives up. The moon comes right back and starts all over again. Can you tell the first full moon you've ever seen from the last full moon you ever seen? No. You can't. They all look the same because the moon is always the same. And the people of God are the same. We're going to go dark. We're going to go light. The thing is, we know how to bounce back up. And these signs are there to help us get back. That's why we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Do we really need a special day to go to God and repent? No, but these are signs along the way that stop us in our tracks. Say, look, we're heading for a new season now. You can change if you want to change. Or you can stay in darkness, you see? The light is always there. The light is meant to draw you. But if you're willing to resist the light and sit in darkness, you can. You can stay behind four walls in your home and never leave and just sit there with tears in your eyes. And you will accomplish nothing. God wants us to know that these signs help us get back to the light. Get back into a repentive mode. Get back into a mode. It doesn't make a difference. There is nothing so detestable that you can do that you cannot find the light again. Nothing. It doesn't. If you kill 20 people, you can still find forgiveness. We might not like to hear that. If somebody killed somebody in your family, you might not want to hear that. But the reality is no sin is so great that you can't come back to our God and repent. No darkness is ever so dark that God will not allow his light to filter through. That's the new moon. That's why God gave it to his people, to let them see that every month there's a renewal. Every month, 12 months a year, there's a renewal. The power that the children of Yahweh have is that when we fall, we can get back up. We can always get back up. No matter how many times our light diminishes, no matter how many times we sin, and no matter how many times we might feel oppressed and embittered, we can get back up. The righteous will fall 7 times, and he'll get back up. 7's the number of completion. He can fall 7 times and he can get back up. 7's not a magical number. What it's saying to you is that until all is complete, you can fall. You can fall and you can get back up. You can fall, you can get back. This is the process of life. This is the process of business. You go into a business, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. Does that mean you give up? The only time you lose is when you never try. See, the person who never tries can never fail. He'll just never be anything. You need to try something. And if you fail at it, it's fine. You get up, you pick yourself up. And again, these are what the signs that God gave us are for. So that we look up and see them. And he made them so clear that you can't miss them. Everybody marvels at the full moon. It lights up the nighttime. But all of a sudden, it's dark. And fear comes over people when it's dark. Like the moon, getting back up again cannot be done overnight. It takes the moon 2 weeks of steady growth to become full again. Our purpose in life is to continue to let our light shine. Our purpose is to look at the sign that God gave us and try to understand how it fits into our life. And if you want to go further, you have to know more about God's plan. And more about God's plan means, what does He want for you? He doesn't want you to be like the person sitting next to you. He wants your light to shine so that people around you will see it. And when you can go through dark days and say, it's okay, the sun will come out tomorrow, like little Annie said. The sun will come out tomorrow. Well, God's telling us the new moon will come out every month. And it's just like you. It's going to go through cycles and be refreshed. Cycles and refreshed. And then the day comes, according to Jewish theology, that the moon will be as large as the sun and the light will never go out. It says in the days of the Mashiach, in the days of the Messiah, the moon will never darken. That's not in Scripture. That's rabbinical teaching. And most of the rabbinical teaching you have to weigh like you do with every other teaching. For instance, the Scripture makes it perfectly clear to blow the shofar on the new moon. The rabbinics tell us don't blow the shofar anymore because we're not in Jerusalem. When the temple's rebuilt, we'll blow the shofar at the new moons. We'll blow them on the Shabbat. It says blow it on the Shabbat, blow it on the new moon, blow it on your festival days. Today it's forbidden, except on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to blow the shofar. But what do they do with scriptures? In your bulletin today, you have the scripture from Isaiah 66 that tells you about the holy day, and one of them being the new moon and the Shabbat. So again, take what you want, but I would suggest that give the new moon a new look. Look at it with different eyes, because if it was important enough for the creator of the universe to stick it in between the ninth and tenth plague, then we probably want to find out, what does it want for me? What am I supposed to know from this? Not what you heard here. What does it mean to you? How do you put it back into your life? How can you use this day that Yahweh gave to His people and said, this shall be the first month of the first year? While we can't, it's not practical for us in the country that we live in most of the world, to go back to the lunar calendar. It doesn't mean we have to abandon it. It means we still follow its holy days. We still follow the days that it's commanded to, even though the rest of the world don't identify. If you get rid of the Hebrew calendar, you're getting rid of the calendar that Yahweh presented to the people of God. It's not their calendar. He said the first day of the first month shall be in Nisan, shall be in the spring. He said that on the first day of the month will be the celebration and sanctify the Rosh Chodesh. So let's bow ahead and pray. Someone next to you. We'll close with the benediction. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarech Adonai v'shmerecha. Yireh Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yitzhar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.